Going back February the 28th, whoever wants to go, please. I need help. LD.
It's not a lot of announcements. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Larry.
Kelly is going to speak Wednesday night. We start at 6:45. Supper is at 6. And if you eat supper, you need to kind of put your name in the pot. It's stew, so it might get real thin if more come than we have names. But put your name in the pot today. And Kelly is going to speak, and it's contemporary singing and meditative prayer.
Today is the deadline for the articles for the newsletter. If you haven't submitted them, you can still do so. Do you want to go ahead and have the elder elected? Says at the beginning of the...
Yes. Where do we have that?
It's actually...
Go ahead with a prayer request.
Okay. Any praise or prayer request today? Yes, Susan. Patrick Rams?
Reynolds.
I'm sorry. Are there any others? I'm sorry.
Can you spell it?
And then Patrick Reynolds.
Nancy and I have a high school friend who had a sinus infection that got so bad that it went up into his brain, and they did surgery. And the doctor that did the surgery said he'd only done it 20 times and nobody survived, but he survived, and he was cognizant when he came out of his 3-day induced coma. So just keep that family, Billy Noe and his wife Susan, and I don't know their daughter's name, but. Miraculous is all I can say. Billy Noe, N-O-E.
Are there any others?
George Bohannon, heart problem has appeared, plus a hernia problem.
Might ask you to keep in mind the families of the miners that were lost this weekend or this week. Yes. Okay. I don't know if you've heard on the news or not, but in Russia they're having some temperatures in some places of 70 below. So it is extremely cold over there. Elder Alexis?
Basically, all we do today is to go through the motions. Steve, if you'll come forward, though. Steve is a session clerk, so he's supposed to keep up with all this and tell me what to do. We've trained him well. Okay. Congregational meeting, let's bow for prayer. Lord God, we come again to do the business of the church, and we seek your blessing, your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. Steve.
It's kind of just a unanimous thing because we actually already elected. And instead of somebody make a motion that we elected by acclamation.
I so moved.
And I second. And all in favor? Thank you.
Okay. We'll do the same thing at the 10:15 service.
One more announcement. As you may know, next Sunday is the fifth Sunday. We will just have one service. And yes, we do get to eat.
And
brunch at 10:30. and I do believe we just have the one service at 9 a.m.
And the youth will be in charge, and who is speaking? Philip, preview. Mr. Duncan. Cody Duncan.
If they haven't been passed out, we need to pass out the registration booklets. And we pause for a moment of silent prayer to begin our worship service. Amen. I'm sorry, there was a prayer there I was supposed to read. Our Lord, our God, you are always more ready to bestow your good gifts upon us than we are to seek them. You are more willing to give them than we desire or deserve. Help us to seek that we may truly find, to ask that we may joyfully receive, to knock that the door of your mercy may be opened for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Sorry now. Our call to worship, it's in your bulletin. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from God.
God only is my rock and my salvation. I shall not be shaken.
Trust in God at all times. O people, pour out your heart before God. Our trust is in God. We worship God's name.
Let's all stand, turn in our hymnals to hymn 508. I will sing the wondrous story. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. And he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Threw his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Days of darkness still come o'er me, sorrows past, often dread. Savior still is with me, by his hand I'm safely led. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. There me safely over, where the loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Let's bow our heads and pray together. Pray about singing the story of Jesus. Lord God, Our Heavenly Father, You are our rock. You are our stability. You are our God. And Lord, we thank You that You would call us to be Your people. Lord, You have called us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we're Your people because someone told us the story of Jesus. You moved in our life through Your Holy Spirit and gave us the faith to believe, to trust. And we believed. Lord, we thank You that You are our God and we can be Your people. As we have come together today, we want to talk about and sing about sharing this good news. Lord, so inspire us in this time together that we might do just that. Lord, we come humbly. We come hungering. We come willing. We come seeking direction and courage. We come seeking Your presence. We come in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Now is the time we express our faith in God. It's in your hymnal, number 716, or on the wall behind us, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
In confessing our sins this morning, our call of confession comes from Acts 2:38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Now we confess in unison, God of compassion and mercy, hear us as we make our confession. Christ preaches repentance. We do not heed His call. Your new day is proclaimed. We dwell on the past. We turn not from our evil ways, nor do we sacrifice those treasures that give us status. We say we obey You, but our deeds betray us. By Your grace, renew us and cleanse us of sin. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness is from Acts 13:38. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you.
Let us turn in our hymnals now to hymn 394. My life, Lord, be glorified.
In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. In my song, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my song, Lord, be glorified today. In your church, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In your church, Lord, be glorified today.
Now turn over, if you will, to hymn 535. Learning hymn. We're getting close to the back of the hymnal. So we get to the last number that we don't know, we're going to know every song in the hymnal, right? Not. We will have heard them all. Let's put it that way. All right, let's sing the first verse only, and would you play just a little bit of that for me? Familiar tune. All right, so all we have to do is concentrate on the words. First verse only.
Oh, give us homes built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counselor and guide, where every child is taught His love and favor, and gives his heart to Christ the crucified. How sweet to know that though his footsteps waver, his faithful Lord is walking by his side.
Thank you. Yes. Now a word of explanation. Okay? Everybody knows we're in the process of building a building. Okay? The sound system at this point is operating on a prayer. Okay, we have one mic and the cordless mics, but the music and everything is not hooked up yet to the sound system because it's got to go up there. So you will hear more of Kim's beautiful voice than you will the music today. Okay? I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. There's a great broad road through the meadow, and many travel there. But I have a gentle shepherd I would follow anywhere. Up a narrow path through the mountains to the valley far below, to be ever in His presence. Where He leads me, I will go. Where He leads me, I will go. And there are many wondrous voices, day and night they fill the air. But there is one so soft and quiet, I would know it anywhere. In the city or in the wilderness, there's a ringing crystal clear, and to be ever close beside Him, when He calls me, I will hear. When He calls me, I will hear. Where He leads me, I will follow. When He calls me, I will. Where He leads me, I will follow. When He calls me, I will There is a great broad road to nowhere, and so many travel there. But I have a gentle shepherd I would follow anywhere. Though the journey takes me far away from the place I call my home, to be ever in His presence, where He leads me, I will go. Where He leads me, I will go. Where He leads me, I will go. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Our offertory sentence today comes from Psalm 116, 12 through 14. What shall I return to the Lord for all His bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Would our ushers come forward, please?
Let us pray. Lord God, again, we bow before You. We want to acknowledge that all good things come from You, that the earth is Yours, Lord. You have called us to be good stewards of it. Lord, You have blessed us materially in ways that we can't number, Lord. We thank You for them. We thank You for the spiritual blessings that are able to be passed around or shared through the material blessings. Now we pray for this offering. Bless each participant, and especially those who could not participate. Bless it all to Your honor, Your glory, in Jesus' name.
Turning our hymnals to hymn 422, we're going to sing the first verse only. Let me say that, as Kim's song says, if you tell God that you'll go where He leads you, let me tell you, you might have to do some traveling. Okay? I can tell you personally, I'm going to be traveling this year. Hymn 422, verse 1.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
And Jeffrey, I know it's last moment, but would you read our scripture lesson today?
We read today from Jonah 3:1-5. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day Jonah started into the city, he proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. The word of God for the people of God.
Be to God.
Started out with the title of this sermon, Heeding the Call, and then somehow that didn't sound right. I looked up the word heeding, and it wasn't the message I wanted to promote or to get over this morning. So then I put down responding the call, and then somewhere along the way, as I was preparing, it became pretty clear we need... might well use the term answering the call. Answering the call. We might even respond to in a negative way. I guess we could answer the call in a negative way also, but the thrust this morning, the urging that I offer is that we answer the call in a positive way. Jonah. What do we know about Jonah? What is our understanding about Jonah and how God used him? How did God use Jonah? Probably you know most about the big fish story. Is that right? If you mention Jonah, we think first about the big fish. We've called him a whale. He was a whale of a fish. If big fish are described by whales, the Bible doesn't call him a whale, but we assume, because that's the biggest fish that we know about, I guess. There's a little story about the whale. Third grade science class, they were studying marine biology about big fish in the ocean. The teacher mentioned, we'll talk about whales. A little boy in the class piped up and said, I know about whales. The prophet Jonah was swallowed by one. The teacher looks at the little boy and says that she does not believe that for a minute. But the third grader insists, it's true. Jonah was swallowed by a whale, and he lived to tell about it. The teacher says that the story about Jonah being swallowed by a whale was just that, a story. And she goes on to say, and besides, you can't prove that it happened because Jonah lived so long ago. So the little boy responds. He's a tough little fellow, isn't he? One that the teachers would rather would shut up, right? But he continues and he responds, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah if he was swallowed by a whale. I'm going to ask him myself. And the teacher comes back at him again. She's pretty sharp too. Well, what if Jonah didn't go to heaven? And the little boy responded, "Well, then you can ask him." The whale of a story, is it not? But though that's what we remember, is this the main point of the book? And if you read ahead in the outline, you'll discover that it's probably not. It may be one of those rabbit trails, if we get off on it, that I go down so often. So I guess I'm biblical even when I do that. Someone has said that the main point of this book of Jonah is God's love for all people, even unlovable people, even people who lived in Assyria, or in particular in the city of Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. The Assyrians had not been nice to the Israelites. The northern branch, or the northern portion, the northern 10 tribes of the land of God, the promised land. Back under Rehoboam, they divided, southern and northern. And they stayed divided. And both the north and the south went to war with surrounding nations. The Assyrians were tough. They were mean. They were cruel. We will touch on that later. But some say that this book emphasizes, or the main point is, God's love for all people, all of His creation. And I agree with that. But that's not the point I want to emphasize today. I don't want to emphasize the big fish. I don't want to emphasize that this is a book that talks about God's love for all people, though it does. I agree with that. But there is more than one message in this book. And that's that one, by at least one more message, is the one I want to emphasize today and call your attention to. And we did not plan this service together. I didn't know what the offertory would be. I could have known early, but I didn't. But you heard, Jesus is calling, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. I didn't know what Kim was going to sing this morning. But it fits. This is one of those days that you feel like maybe God put the service together. You can laugh. You can say it didn't happen. But I did not know what the offertory was. I did not know what Kim was going to sing. But her song was about following Jesus wherever He calls. And I want to emphasize from this book of Jonah, God calling and us answering that call. Us answering that call. Where do we get that this is a book about God loving all people? It is written out there in chapter 4, verse 2. After his good experience in Nineveh, bad for him because he didn't want the Ninevites to be saved. He was still mad at them for what they had done maybe 1,000 years or 200 years or however many years it was prior to this experience that he had. But he says to God, "God, I didn't want to go. I knew that you are a gracious God. And I knew you to be a merciful God. Slow to anger and of great kindness." And Jonah knew if he went to preach there in Nineveh that people would turn to God, and if they turned to God, he knew that God would save them, would forgive them of their sin, And he didn't want that. But that verse really emphasizes maybe the main point of the book. And then him going to a people who are enemies of God's chosen people. Our lesson begins where God calls Moses a second time. Verse 1 of chapter 3. The word of the Lord. Did I say Moses? Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Now, before we get into the second call, let's look back at the first call. In the first call, God speaking to Jonah. God spoke to him and told him to go to Nineveh and proclaim against it. Or go to Nineveh and tell the people how bad they are and what God is going to do to them. Go and tell them that you're wicked and God is going to destroy you. Well, Jonah, as we have already said, did not like Assyrians. He did not like Ninevites. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. I've said that years early, the Assyrians had all but wiped out the northern portion of Israel. 10 tribes. They had essentially wiped them off of the face of the earth. They're still called or referred to in some circles as the 10 lost tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes coming from the 12 sons of Jacob. All but Levi. And then two were named after two of Jacob's grandchildren, Joseph's children. When we find Jesus dealing with the northern section of the land, the people that lived there were the Samaritans. The Samaritans. The Assyrians came in and wreaked havoc. Picked the people up, shipped them out, most of them. Shipped their own people in and settled them in the land. They became a mixture. Israelites mixed with everybody else. And the, quote, the purebreds of the southern kingdom, they didn't like their brothers to the north or their half-brothers. The Assyrians had done great damage to the nation, Israel, as the northern section was referred to throughout the Bible. They were a ruthless people. And a professor named Haddon Robinson, you may have read his work, he says that if you combine Nazi Germany, Iraq, and Iran in one package, you get a feel for what Assyria was like. They were arrogant, they were cruel, and they were conquerors. Jonah did not want to go preach to them. He didn't like them. They were a terrible people. And here we find God sending him to preach to them. To call them to repentance. To call them to God. Jonah refused to go. He went in the opposite direction. He was supposed to go north He went the other way. At Joppa, he boarded a ship and sailed for Tarshish towards Spain. That's about as far away as he could go, the other side of the Mediterranean. Tarshish was the furthest Phoenician trading point, I believe. Well, he got on the ship and a storm arose. If that had waited just a moment to thunder, it wouldn't have been nice. He got on the ship and a storm arose. Can we do that again? I know, Lord, I didn't ask. God sent a storm. He got on the ship and God sent a storm. Chapter 1, verse 4. The Lord sent out a great wind upon the sea. And the ship, short version of the story, the ship was about to be broken up. The sailors were afraid. And they found Jonah asleep. They wake him up. Lots were cast to see who was the sinner who caused God to act up and bring the storm. Jonah, with the casting of lots, Jonah was determined to be the one. And Jonah said, if you'll cast me overboard, everything will be all right. So he volunteered to be cast into the raging sea. And he was. There was a little hesitancy there, but he was cast into the sea. The sea ceased from its raging. And there was a witness to these sailors, because the scriptures say that these men worship the Lord. So even running away from God, Jonah had opportunity to witness to some people. So if you're not willing to go with God, we got this example, God will use you anyway, but He won't use you like He would, like He did in Jonah's case, if you went where God told you to go. And this, here is where the fish enters the story. It says, the Lord prepared and appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And while he was there, he had a change of heart. All of those stomach acids. Jonah prayed. And the Lord spoke to the fish. And the fish vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Someone said, with the attitude that Jonah had about not serving the Lord, you can understand why the fish would vomit him up, though. It made him sick. And God gave Jonah a second chance. Have you ever felt you needed a second chance? Or maybe a third chance? And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, and God sends Jonah to the place that He sent him the first time. He sends him to Nineveh. After the ordeal with the storm on the sea and in the stomach of the fish, he was ready to obey. But Jonah still did not want to go. He still did not want to go to that city. He still did not want to go and preach to those people, because he wanted them to be damned. He didn't want them to be in fellowship with God. He wanted them to be separated from God. He wanted them to experience the worst that he had ever dreamed about. But he went anyway, not wanting anything good to come about by his preaching. Now, last week, you may remember that I mentioned growing up hearing many testimonies from preachers who did not want to preach, but they were convinced that God wanted them to preach anyway. And that's more or less God twisted their arm and sent them out to preach, to be pastors. Well, that seems to be Jonah's predicament. He didn't want to preach to the Ninevites. That was his situation. He couldn't help himself. God had a job for Jonah to do, and God intended for Jonah to do it. I listed another scripture passage from Mark, listed a couple of more there. You might compare Jonah's reluctance to go and preach to the willingness and the readiness of Peter and Andrew and James and John. We talked about, kind of referred to Peter last week and his call, and Andrew, and then Philip and Nathaniel. But in Mark's gospel, he tells us about the call of Peter and Andrew and James and John, and they left their occupation. They left their fishing nets and went after Jesus and served him. James and John had also been disciples of John the Baptist. And they went after Jesus and left John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was pleased for that to happen. Now, the results of Jonah obeying God's orders, or God's call, we refer to it a more churchy word, I guess, more liturgical word, is that God calls, not that He orders. But in essence, His call is somewhat of an order. He preached to the people, and the people repented, and the people were spared. Look at verse 5. Verse 5. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. And then verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction that He had threatened. So God changed His mind. God repented of the destruction that He had planned for this people. He was going to do it because of their sinfulness, but they repented, they turned to Him, and He forgave. Two calls this morning. The call of God to be a witness. A witness for God. A witness for Jesus Christ. Through word and through action. Think about the call of God. Friends, God needs preachers. We'll start with that. God needs preachers. In the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, God needs preachers. On the Cumberland Presbyterian website, under the Board of Missions, there is something called the Opportunity List. And when preachers get down and out and have a bad day and nobody shows up on Sunday or the crowd is slow, we go and say, well, where could I move? You know, preachers often resign every Sunday afternoon, go back to work on Tuesday. But they don't tell anybody. And sometimes if they ever tell anybody, they're in trouble sometime, and then they have to move. But anyhow, so I went to this opportunity list this morning. I waited till this morning. This is fresh. I think this was last updated, though, January the 6th, so it's a few weeks old. And I found 34 Cumberland Presbyterian churches that are known to be what we call full-time churches that pay a pastor a livable salary. They're seeking a pastor. They're seeking a pastor. Go to Florida. Go to North Alabama. Rogersville, Alabama. Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. Franklin, Tennessee. Not a finer place to live anywhere, is there, than the Franklin area, is it? The best schools in the state, maybe the nation. People are fighting to get here. There's a job opening there. Beautiful new church. Great people. Beautiful neighborhood. But Rogersville, Alabama is just as fine. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Our friend just left Tulsa, Oklahoma. Moved to Woodbine, Cumberland Presbyterian Nashville. But there are 34 that I determined to be full-time churches from Illinois, Fairfield, Illinois, one of our finest congregations. Nobody to go fill the pulpit. They're looking. Greenville, Tennessee. Knoxville, Tennessee. Columbus, Mississippi. We have two churches, full-time churches in Columbus, Mississippi. One is in the city and one is out close to the Alabama line. That's where I grew up, in the neighborhood. Both of the churches are without pastors. One of them has been without a pastor about 2 years. They're just not available. The call is, the need is. And I say this, I know if you become a minister, you'll probably leave us. But have you thought about that God could be calling you to be a minister? Young people, Tommy Job, we've all got to know him in the last 2.5 years. 15 years old, I think he committed his life. The young man with us Wednesday night, Howell G. Mims, came and spent the week with Tommy, a portion of it, and came Wednesday night for supper, if you saw him. He became a ministerial candidate. He understood God was calling him to the ministry at about 15 years old. He may have had some influence on my life. He preached at our church, our little country church, when we didn't have a pastor. God needs preachers. Columbia Presbytery, Grace, Lawrenceburg, Chapel Hill, Mount Pleasant, and then another area, Rockville. This goes on and on and on. We even need someone to start a brand new church in Spring Hill, Thompson Station area. But we don't have anybody to go and do it. Kim Song. Where He leads me, I will follow. The local church needs Sunday school teachers and leaders. We need committee members. We need mission team members, locally and away from here. We need witnesses in the workplace. We need witnesses in the classroom. We need witnesses on the playground. We need witnesses in the home. That learning song that we learned, what was it, 535? We need witnesses in the home. Jonah was even mad at God. You ever got mad at God? Are you that brave? Are you that bold? Jonah got mad at God for giving him this job. He got mad at God for forgiving these people that he went and preached to. He got mad at him and pouted. That's another interesting story. The last chapter. But God still used him. God still used him for their salvation. We don't have to like it. We just need to do it. If we know that God is calling us. And then there is the call to the person who is estranged from God, or the call to the person who is not saved, who does not know God as their God, does not know Jesus as their Savior. That is the call to come to God through Jesus Christ. If you've never invited Jesus into your life, my challenge is to hear God's call. Call. Repent. Believe. Or believe and repent, whichever one comes first. Trust. Trust Jesus as your Savior and receive Him into your life. And just like God forgave the Ninevites, God will forgive your every sin. He'll make a new person out of you. You won't stay the same. The question this morning is, who will respond to God's call? Who will answer it?
You have an insert. Follow on. I remember that song from, I don't know from when. I looked through about six books to find it. 4 to 6. And I found it. But a phrase was in the back of my mind. Maybe God brought that to my mind. And I want us to sing it because it's a song that calls us to follow Jesus. Stand together and sing. Let's sing all the verses. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere He leads me, I would follow on, walking in His footsteps, the one. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere He leads me, I would follow on. In the valley with my Savior I would go, where the storms are sweeping and the dark waters flow. With His hand to lead me, I will never, never fear. And I fight thee if my Lord is near. I will follow, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow home. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere He leads me, I would follow. Down in the valley or upon the mountain steep, close beside my Savior with my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that He has drawn, up to where they gather on the hills of God. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere He leads me, I will follow on. Lord, I thank You that You are a loving God and ready to forgive. I thank You, Lord, that You give us second chances like You gave to Jonah. And Lord, I thank You that You still call people to follow and to serve You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me have that too. I'll put it up here. Well, I have it up here, but I can't find mine.
This is what you must write to the angel of the church in Philadelphia.